listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Thanks so much for being with us, Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network. The Florida Sports Network. Our buddy Seth Everett is coming up in a little more than 35 minutes time. For our money, he is the best hockey play-by-play man in North America. He is John Forslund, who has just finished his first year as the voice of the Seattle Kraken and is back doing the NHL playoffs on TNT and TBS. John, it's David and Mark. It's been a long year. We left you alone. We didn't want to wake you up at 4:30 in the morning to do a guest spot. How the hell have you been?
I've been great, and if you're going to say those nice things about me, I'll wake up every morning like this. This is terrific.
Well, we say them because we believe them, John, and we have for a long time. You know that.
Appreciate it, fellas.
You spent a lot of time in Raleigh working for the Canes. I don't know if it's a culture shock. I don't know what it would be, but from the Southeast to the Pacific Northwest, how was the year?
The year was fantastic. It was professionally invigorating, re-energized my career. I think, going into the season, I told a lot of people that not many of us that do this get a chance to mark time with a franchise twice, let alone once. So I was lucky enough to move from Hartford with the team in 97 and take it to a virgin market here in Raleigh and see what happened with the Hurricanes over time. And then unfortunately, things happened and I moved on and got out there. And this season has been remarkable in terms of the energy from the fans. The Kraken have run a first cabin organization. They had their struggles on the ice, but telling that story and kind of articulating what they were going through made it interesting. I got to break in a first-year guy in JT Brown, and he and I hit it off and have great chemistry. I love him. I think he's going to be really, really good at this moving forward. And so that's been great. And then over the course of the season, I did a few games during the regular year for the folks at Turner, and going to do some playoff games here and call the Eastern Conference Final on radio. So we're not done yet. Everything's good.
I was in Seattle days before the Kraken were going to debut, and I was reading the paper, and it was fascinating. You know, we've all been a part of a community where they have a special section. So they have this special section, and literally you talked about a virgin market. John, there was a 3-page story explaining to the people of the Pacific Northwest hockey, the basic rules. And it just struck me because obviously we're all sports guys. You know, we just assume that, you know, everybody can walk and chew gum and kind of keep up with us. And I remember sitting there reading it going, oh my goodness, that's how new this is.
Well, you know, hockey is a unique game in the fact that you always learn about the game. Even someone like myself that's been, never played it professionally, but have been in the game doing what I do for almost 40 years, I'm learning. So you look at the Pacific Northwest, right? And yes, it's a virgin market for the NHL, although they actually won a Stanley Cup that
right.
goes all the way back to the days of the first pandemic 100 years ago. But the irony of the whole thing that the two pandemics, I still can't get over that. But anyway, getting back to the point here, the Seattle people in the Seattle region, the Northwest, is rich in major junior hockey. So you have the Seattle Thunderbirds, the Everett Silvertips, the Portland Winterhawks, the Spokane Chiefs, Tri-City Americans. You've got all these teams where the majority of National Hockey Leaguers have come from over time, yet there's still a lot of people who are new to it and have never seen the game. And really, guys, those are the best fans. The people who have never seen the game don't come in with any built-in opinions about it from their past. They see it new, they see it live, and then they're captivated by the energy and the skill of the players, and then they love the game. And the only way to love the game further is to follow it on television and radio. So, this is the beauty of getting this thing kicked off. And I'll tell you what was different, too, and it's interesting. is that Seattle, as you know, is a hardened sports market with professional teams. It's way different than Raleigh. When we brought the Hurricanes to Raleigh, it was a college atmosphere, and they weren't really used to what goes on with pro sports. So, in other words, the pressure coming from the fans wasn't really there if you weren't very good. And in the first year, people think it was a honeymoon. It really wasn't. The fans started not to turn on the team. Their support and loyalty was always there, but the pressure was there. So it was a front burner item on radio, in the newspapers. You know, what's wrong with the Kraken? Why aren't they better? Why can't they accomplish what Vegas did? And I think that's good for a team, because the apathy aspect of it is not good. When you go out of sight, out of mind, like we did for some years here in Raleigh when the team wasn't very good, it's not a good place. So I like that fact, and we'll see what happens in year two.
Well, the boys in Raleigh last night got it done, very impressive fashion, winning game five against Boston. John, with this East as competitive as it is, do you think there's a favorite in the end? I know it's got to be someone that's up 3-2, but is there a team you think is the best team in the East, or is it still just a crapshoot?
It's really a great crapshoot, because I use the word great in front of a word like crapshoot. That doesn't even make sense, does it? But I think the key here is that there are great teams that are going to go home, and that's unfortunate. And when those teams lose in the first round, the managements of those teams are going to have to be very careful in terms of what they do next. It's going to be easy to knee-jerk and make some decisions. And, you know, say, for instance, Florida somehow gets upset. You know, what do they do? That's a great team. I think they can win the series still, and it's on level ground and huge game obviously coming up. But, you know, what happens if? Same thing with the Lightning. What happens if? I mean, they were in control of that game early last night. It slipped away. It was right there for them again in the third period when McDonough scored. And then it's one of those deals. It's a transitional play the other way, quick strike, two of the best players in the world, Marner and Matthews combined, game over. Now the Lightning come home and have to do what they did, you know, in the fourth game, and that show their championship pedigree. But someone's going home in that series, and you cannot pick a favorite in the Eastern Conference. You can in the West, but you cannot pick a favorite in the Eastern Conference.
John, do you think this year's playoffs, I mean, everybody in the East with 100 or more points, do you think this is going to lead to the NHL going back to how they did it in the late 70s, which was a 1-16 deal? I remember first round was best of three in the late 70s. I remember the Rangers having to play the LA Kings in a best of three, and, you know, 1-1-1. But I'm just wondering, you know, getting out of the division, I mean, let's face it, you'd love to be in certain divisions as opposed to others. Do you think when, let's just say potentially, Tampa Bay, Florida, certain teams like that, if they end up home, that the league looks at one another and goes, you know, maybe we need to make it a little, I don't want to say easier, but different to move on?
Yeah, you know, I think I'd like to see it happen. I think it's really difficult to pull off on a consistent basis. I think you could do it for a couple of years, and then we would be right back to having the same conversation again. So if you go way back in time, and when I was working in the minor leagues in the 80s, 89-90, I think, was the year. And the four best teams in the league that season were in the Adams division, bar none. And Hartford was fourth in the Adams division that season, and they had the seventh best record in the NHL. And they lost in the first round because they could never get by Boston. They could never get by Montreal. They even had a tough time with Quebec. It was just one of those deals, but all the power was there. And then you had the old Norris division, right? The Norris, where teams were below 500 and making the playoffs, but it was a 1-4 divisional. There's some good to that because rivalries, you know, burgeoned out of the 1-4, and you're always playing the same teams. And then the negative to that is people say, well, it's the same team every year in the playoffs. We're sick of it. So then when Bettman came in, he went to, like, the basketball model, the 1-8 in the conferences, and that's worked. And I think, by and large, it's worked. But I think it is, your point's well taken. I think there has to be some kind of reward for being great, for being the President's Trophy winner or close. I think the only way you make that happen is to go to maybe an expansion of the playoffs and have a play-in week or 4 or 5 days where those teams that are at the top of their conferences get a little bit of a breather. those other teams that are trying to get in play each other and get tired. And then as a favored team or a team at the top of the conference, you get a chance in your first round matchup to play a team that's already played and maybe is injured a little bit or tired just to get in and try and take advantage of that. That's not always going to work in hockey, though, because a hot goalie could come in all tuned up and knock out the favorite and would be having the same conversation again. The other thing to do, guys, is go 1 through 16.
Yes.
And throw out the conferences. With travel today, I think it's doable. That's my theory. I think that would work, but, you know, again, you get to parity. But I think that in a league that is filled with parity, that makes sense. Number one plays 16 and so on. That might be a way to do it.
All right. You spent the year with Seattle. You watch the West pretty closely. Just do you think Colorado gains an advantage by the sweep in getting the time off? And how good is this Avalanche team when you break it down in the West?
Well, Colorado did it last year, right, and it didn't help them. You know, time off is never good. There's no really perfect science to these playoffs. You take the rest. They will. You hope it doesn't create rust. I don't think it will because they went through it last year. So they have that in the back of their minds. They are outstanding. They are my pick to come out of the West. They were my pick at the start of the season in the West. They didn't let anybody down. They're going to get Darcy Kemper back in goal, and he's going to be healthy, and that's going to be something they really need. They can't move forward really without him. The backup isn't going to do it, I don't think, over the long term. So that'll be good for them. But the Minnesota-St. Louis thing is really interesting because those two teams are really good. And those two teams, whoever wins that series, are capable of pushing Colorado, pushing them to a point where then that will be, I think, Colorado's toughest series of the playoffs until they get to the final. I think the next step, with all due respect to Calgary, whoever comes out of that, I think Calgary will. Edmonton, Los Angeles, I don't think so. I think in a conference final, the Avalanche will be rolling so well once they, if they do get by a Minnesota or St. Louis, you know, that's going to put them in a really good spot. But there's a lot of variance in the West that we don't see in the East. The East is where everything is in terms of how great the teams are, how close everything is. So I think Colorado will have enough to get it done.
John, best of luck in the playoffs with the calls, wherever you may be. We will follow you. We know you were in Tampa for Game 4. Best of luck Thursday night on TBS or TNT, and hopefully we can talk later on in the playoffs.
I'll be happy to, and I will be in Tampa for Game 6.
Awesome. That's John Forslund, the NHL on Turner, Miller and Moulton.
Thanks for listening. And now, more of Miller and Moulton on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes past the hour, Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network. Great catching up with John Forslund. Could talk to him every week. We had no money in the budget, but I could talk to him every week. Although, apparently, if we keep saying good things about him, he'll get up at 4:30 in the morning.
Well, he gave a big tell there. I'm doing the Eastern Conference Finals on radio.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah.
Done. Oh. Done.
Okay.
All right. This is my thing. Maybe nobody else cares, but we got a lot of hockey fans that listen. So I liked it how it was in the late 70s, all right, where it was 1 versus 16, 2-15, 3-14, and what have you. We all know, those of us that follow hockey, how it goes now. You got to get out of your division, and they line it up. Florida would have been the one President's Trophy winner. They would have played Nashville. Colorado would have played Dallas. Interesting. Carolina would have played the LA Kings. Toronto would have played Washington. Minnesota would have played Pittsburgh. How about this irony? Calgary and Edmonton would have played. Boston and Tampa Bay would have played, and the Rangers and Blues would have played. That's how it would have gone if you just went by points and how they finished. That would have been the first round. Now, you could certainly argue there are sexier matchups now. There's no way to avoid that. You're working your way through your division. Your money more rivalries are being played here in the first round. But you could argue that it's harder for the better teams the way it is stacked now, and usually it is stacked to get out the way the playoffs exist now.
I wouldn't argue that it's stacked more now. I hate the idea of eliminating conferences. I despise it. When I was listening to John Forslund talk about the Norris, I hate the Toronto Maple Leafs because of the Norris, because Detroit couldn't get past them, and it developed a hatred for a team, and I'm not an idiot that would, you know, do dumb things, but I don't like the Leafs. I'll never like the Leafs.
Right.
Because when I was 16 and 15, they were crushing the team I was rooting for.
Right.
I don't like having playoffs where Carolina's playing the LA Kings in the first round 1 year, and the next year might be playing the Boston Bruins, and the following year could be playing the Edmonton Oilers. I don't think it makes a lot of sense. I don't like East Coast teams playing 10 o'clock games in the first round of the playoffs. I don't think that does well for their fan bases.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, the way it's set up, this is the worst for the first round, but I think it's the best scenario to get more of the best teams to the end of the tournament. Now, I don't know if that's important or not. I don't. Gary Bettman doesn't think it's important. Gary Bettman's not interested in this at all. When other owners bring it up, like, I will
That's
say,
the
though,
first
Mark.
First thing I've liked about Gary in a long time. Thank you, Gary.
I'll say this, though. If the Lightning come back and beat the Leafs, I mean, we all know, while the NHL offices, they've got offices in New York and what have you, a lot of people think Toronto runs the league, that the league is based out of Toronto. And if this Leafs team can't get out of the first round, pardon my French, the bitching that will go on because they had to play the Lightning, the best team the Leafs have put on the ice in almost 30 years, and they had to meet up with the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions.
Who would they have played if it was just the eight in the East?
All right.
I don't know if you can pull that off, because I have no problem if it was 1-8 on a conference side. I don't like crossing the Mississippi, so to speak, if you know what I mean. I would at least like to see the conferences stay the same.
Toronto would have played Boston. Florida would have played Washington, 1-8. Carolina would have played Pittsburgh. Toronto would have played Boston. The Rangers would have played the Lightning. That would have been it if we just did 1-8, like the NBA.
Now,
if we just
did you live with that, by the way?
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. I'd be fine. I would easily compromise my, you know, having the whole league in one playoffs, or just splitting it in conferences. Yeah. Once again, you know, and we'll move on, but Florida would have played Washington, Carolina would have played Pittsburgh, Toronto would have played Boston, the Rangers would have played the Lightning. So one of the current matchups would have existed, the Panthers-Cap series. Everything else would have been different. That's all.
All right. You know, we've been neglecting this for the majority of the show, and it's kind of on us here.
What's that?
We're supposed to make a little bit of an announcement, a little bit of a tease. We're 2.5 hours in.
Right. Well, we were just waiting. This is kind of the peak listenership hour. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
It's a hell of a story.
Thank you. But
I'm sticking with it, too. That's good stuff right there.
So here's the deal. You know, I mean, this is the first year Miller and Moulton with the Florida Sports Network, and we want to have a nice long run here and what have you, but it's easy when you're in one market. It's harder when you're in multiple, but it took us a little while. Here's the deal. We want to get out and about around the state. We want to have some golf tournaments. You know, just meet people, raise some money for charities and local communities, that sort of deal. So we think we're starting in a month in Southwest Florida that we're going to have a golf tournament. Then we think sometime in the middle of summer, we're going to have a golf tournament for our Port Charlotte Venice audience. And we are hoping to even make it up to Lake City for right around the beginning of football season. So we're putting it together. We're hoping for three golf tournaments between late spring and late summer. And we're starting, we're pretty sure, a month from now, West Bay and Estero. It's a very nice track. We'll get you a shirt. Logos on it and everything. All right. It's not going to be, you know, a t-shirt.
How about just a plain white t-shirt?
No.
Okay.
Not one of those that shrinks half its size. No, no. Nice shirt you're actually going to wear more than once. We'll feed you, put you on a nice golf course, raise a little money for charity. Hot steaming deal, as we like to say.
I will say we'll have all the information here in the next couple of days to sign up and all those things. But if you are interested, I would ask that you text us FSN radio to 21,000. Say, I'm interested in the golf tournament. That way I can keep track of you and I can follow up with you. And I mean that sincerely because, well, David doesn't know how to run the text line all that well.
He's being kind. We'd like to thank the good folks at Southwest Florida Golf Carts, flgolfcarts.com. They are going to sponsor our Southwest Florida Golf Tournament, and we thank them for that.
You know what they have? They have the carts your wife wants.
I know they do.
They've got the blinged out. They could get you the pink blinged out golf cart that your wife has always wanted.
Looked at Brian. That's exactly what I said to Brian yesterday. I go, you know, my wife, I mean, honestly, the only thing I could do to keep her from leaving me for John Bon Jovi is to get her a bling pink golf cart. Can you do it?
Oh, they can do
it. He goes, oh, I can do it. Oh, we can do this.
That's your spot.
The big question on the show today is, could you land a Cessna? Apparently, there was a pilot who was incapacitated, and, well, guy got up, went into the cockpit, and landed a Cessna at West Palm International Airport.
Right, the wide runways.
Right. And Felipe, matter-of-factly, confidently, wasn't that impressed and said, ah, hell, I could do that.
It's not that I wasn't impressed.
No, you weren't impressed.
You weren't impressed at
all. You were not impressed.
You were dismissive. You were so not impressed, you were dismissive of the story.
You were. You almost incredulous as to us boasting about what this guy did.
You didn't think this was the good. You thought this was the below average.
You're like, hell, I could do that before lunch.
And if you don't believe us,
listen to the tape.
Go back and listen to your voice. Because you were as and it was more so during the break than it really was on air. You were
just
laughed us out of the room.
Because Mark wanted to save this story for the good, bad, and ugly, and Felipe was like, come on, it's not that big a deal.
You were so dismissive, it became a 7 o'clock segment.
Yeah, find something else to talk about, please. So Felipe's literally in our poll question. Felipe says he could land a Cessna because, you know, he played Call of Duty and his simulator and what have you. And so we ask, hey, could you land the Cessna in the same situation?
Texter says you'd be amazed at what people can accomplish when facing mortality. I say give Felipe a chance because where are you going to go?
That's a good one.
In fact, that should have been your selling point. You should have. Because we're envisioning the three of us on the plane, and Felipe talks his way into the cockpit, and he turns, he looks at Miller and Moulton, and he goes, guys, where are you going to go?
You going to jump out? Well, actually, where are you going to go?
It's certainly, it's on the top three.
Yeah, I think we would have waited. Let's see, how far up do we have to be before we jump? Miller and Moulton, Seth Everett next.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes before the hour. Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network. Thanks so much for being with us. You miss any part of the show, you can download it, floridasportsnetwork.com. We had Bill Bender of the Sporting News talking about, well, all the madness that is college football and NIL and trying to put the toothpaste back in the tube. We just had John Forslund on at the top of the hour talking a little hockey. And Seth Everett is kind enough to join us now. He hosts the three great podcasts, Sports with Friends, Hall of Justice, and TechStream. You can follow him on Twitter at Seth_Everett. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys. Big fan of your show. Love John Forslund.
We do, too. We think he's the best in the business. And
yeah, he's very, very good.
Good that he's getting some playoff games. All right, Seth, we got to start with our poll question today because, as you know, you've talked to our producer, our young, very confident producer.
He was a very smart guy that figured out a technical snafu at the last minute.
And
the markings of a good producer. That's all I got.
That's good.
That's fine. I do this good, bad, and ugly thing, and I found a story that I thought was a good. Like this story that I'm like, wow, this is really cool, of a Cessna plane where the pilot is incapacitated and the passenger on the plane has to radio air traffic control and lands the plane at Palm Beach International Airport. I mean, I think that's quite a feat.
Sure.
Felipe just laughed
it
off.
It wasn't Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, though.
No, it was not.
Oh, okay.
No, and he wasn't dragging Lanier and Walton up and down the court 80 times a year. But
48 minutes a night.
Felipe says he could land. Just nonchalant. I could land the plane for two reasons. One, he had a flight simulator as a 9-year-old, and B, he played Call of Duty. Seth, do you think you could land the plane? Do you think you could be talked down into landing a plane when the pilot goes incapacitated on your Cessna flight?
You're asking me if I could do it?
Yeah.
I'd like to think I could, but I can't.
Oh! Right.
No. He said, I'd like to think I could, but
I
can't.
I'd like to think I could.
But I can't.
But I can't.
But you got to have confidence in the situation. And I am confident that I can do this.
Yeah.
And I'm confident I'd be a grease spot.
Right. Seth just said, you'd think you could. So in other words, we're envisioning scenarios where it's like the three of us on the plane. And Felipe's the one that stands up and pulls the Al Haig. I'm in charge here. And he goes into the cockpit. So you're saying you would not have been, the guy on the plane that stood up and said, I got this.
No, and I've thought about those like doomsday scenarios and like what I would do, like the guys who the plane that went down in Shanksville in 9/11. I'd love to think I'd be part of that. I really would. I don't know that I would.
You'd like to think you'd be the tough guy in the moment.
I'd like to think I'd be one of those guys that bum rushed those hijackers and crashed the plane. Like I would love to think, those heroes that did that. I'd like to think I would have been part of their little club.
But until you're there, you have no earthly idea.
No chance.
But Felipe jumped up and could land the Cessna.
Yep, done. In fact, he made it sound as if, and then after that, he'd go have lunch. I mean, it was really not that big a deal.
My apartment in Seattle was once broken into, and I kind of knew it was an inside job. It was these, maintenance guys that had access to the keys, and I was angry as all get out, and I was going to find them. I was going to find, and then I was thinking to myself, what am I going to do if I find them?
Right. I'm armed with a laptop.
Right. What am I going to do? I'm going to throw an iPhone at him?
But you were honked, right?
I was mad. Oh, my God. I was spitting mad. I sued my building, and I won.
Wait a minute. You sued your building?
Yeah, because they gave the keys without anybody's authorization. They gave the keys to these maintenance guys. These maintenance guys knew who I was from the radio. They knew when I was not going to be home.
Ah.
And they came to my apartment, and they gave them all the information.
So you got back 13 CDs and a...
Right. And an iron?
No, there was some... some jewelry. There was some stuff. But I didn't get it back. I just got damages.
$1,000?
No, it was more than that.
Okay.
So it was a real theft.
All right.
Yeah, it was a real theft.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. I mean, I've never heard you say you sued anybody before. That's why you got our attention.
That was fun. Great memories.
It was fun.
And then my lease was up, and I was getting out of that building.
Well, that's awkward, by the way. If you want to renew, that would have been awkward.
Yeah, that would have been awkward. So then I started apartment hunting, and that's when Major League Baseball called. And so I had put a deposit down on an apartment. I was going to move away, in another part of Seattle. And that's when I got the gig with MLB. And so I went up canceling that, get the deposit back, and moved to New York.
Surprised you got the deposit back after you were on that, apartment hit list in Seattle. Right. I'm surprised you even were able to.
They all talk to one another,
They do. All those apartment people, they're friends.
So what do you think of this Brady news?
Oh, well, I'm thrilled for Kevin Burkhardt. I think that's amazing. That was my initial reaction. And I'd love to know what kind of test games they did. Kevin and I texted the other day when the news broke. What day did that happen? Monday?
It happened 24 hours ago.
Oh, it was yesterday. Yeah. So I texted Kevin, and he's going to do Sports with Friends over the summer. So I'm going to ask him all about working with him. Think it kind of stinks for Greg Olsen.
Hold on. You really think Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady have done a test game already together?
Yeah, I totally do.
I don't.
Oh, well, you would know better than me.
I mean, I don't, but, it'd be fascinating if they did, and because that'd be another reason that, the word didn't get out.
Right.
I mean, you have to admit, it's pretty impressive. I mean, it is Tom Flippin' Brady, and this thing was kept, quiet.
Very under wraps.
Almost to the point in which it looks like Fox planted the trying to acquire Drew Brees story. as a distraction so nobody would catch wind of this.
Well, my whole thing with the news was, you know, based on that documentary that he had done with ESPN and Disney Plus, I thought he was in bed with ESPN. And when, you know, they had signed Troy Aikman, I kind of wondered, where does that put Brady? And, you know, you have that Manning thing. These alternate casts are not making any sense to me because they're spending so much money on the main cast. It just doesn't seem like the percentages. It's like 91% are going to watch the main game and 9% are going to watch the alternate cast. And why are you doing all this? And I thought, where does Tom Brady fit in that? So I was in the ESPN mentality, and this kind of threw everybody for a loop. But I'm thrilled for Kevin. Kevin Burkhardt's one of the real good guys in the business. And, you know, he was a car salesman who was, you know, just working weekends trying to get radio gigs and turned it into a radio gig and then wound up getting the SNY gig. And, yeah, just a real good dude.
No doubt. One of the good guys in the business. Everyone in the industry happy that Kevin Burkhardt's the number one at Fox.
Here's the thing. Do you think Brady will be any good?
I don't know. When I listened to him talking at press conferences, when he denied deflating those footballs, it was like fingernails on a chalkboard.
That was a long time ago,
I'm not a fan. He's a cheater. That was one of the first things I taught my kids.
Hold on a second.
What?
Hold on a second. You really consider him a cheater?
It's just a bit.
Okay, gotcha. I didn't know. Can't tell.
He deflated those footballs. Should have been suspended for that Super Bowl.
Right. Hell, we didn't know about the story for years.
Deflategate, that was my favorite one. You know, Spygate was boring, but Deflategate was great.
It's interesting you say that, though, about Brady. I never thought, both Mark and I, we were surprised, almost stunned at the news yesterday. Not the money, because, I mean, when you're paying over $2 billion just for the rights to do the games.
It's monopoly money at this point.
Okay, right. But, like, if you're paying attention, so the Manning signed with ESPN, and they're doing the Manning cast, and they re-upped the deal, and they're going to do more of it and all that. I just thought Brady did this whole thing on ESPN Plus because he's putting a bow on his athletic career. And this was what he wanted everybody to see and know about him and what have you. Wrap it all up. It was an image thing. Thank you very much. Now I'm going to go on to my next life. We never thought he would do broadcasting, though. That's why we never thought about the whole, was he in bed with the four-letter network or this three-letter network? And we just never thought he'd do this.
There's a great media podcast that John Oran from the Sports Business Journal and Andrew Marchand, who's a old colleague of mine, they do this podcast, and they were speculating on who was going to be Burkhardt's partner, and they were talking about how Fox was looking for reasons to not have Greg Olson, even though Greg Olson's more than qualified, but they were just trying to find somebody that was going to make a headline, and now you found that guy. The only difference is, doesn't Fox have the Super Bowl this year?
Right. Yes.
So Greg Olson's going to do the Super Bowl this year?
Well, if Tampa Bay's playing in it, then he's got a really good shot at doing the Super Bowl. If Tampa Bay's not playing in the Super Bowl, I don't think Greg Olson's doing the Super Bowl. I don't.
What if Tom Brady is in it and does the Super Bowl?
Now we've got a good broadcast.
Like you know how ESPN puts Ray Ferraro down on the ice?
So when the Bucks are on defense in the game, Fox will throw it down to Brady and go, Tom, what are you seeing?
Well, that offensive lineman's got a block to his left. What is he doing?
Looks like I'm seeing blitz again, and I've been checking off the whole game, and they don't have anything for it.
Some guy on his bench overhearing him. Going, what are you doing? What are you saying that for?
Throw it down to Aaron Andrews every time the Bucks are on defense, and she goes, thanks a lot, Kevin. Tom, three and out. What happened?
That's funny.
Miller and Moulton with Seth Everett, Sports with Friends, Hall of Justice, and TechStream are his three terrific podcasts. Follow him on Twitter at Seth_Everett.
Well, Seth, the Brady thing notwithstanding, you've been into the hockey. I'm just curious, you know, I don't know how much you watched last night, but you're making the comments watch into the Kings game last night?
No, I fell asleep. No.
Because when Leah Hextall's trending in the morning, that's never really a good sign.
Now, okay, I want to precursor this. I don't know what you're about to say, but I have liked her this season.
I have liked her, and I think she has sounded very good on a couple of NCAA tournaments. She had a really bad night last night.
She did? She had a rough night?
Yeah, had a rough night. Also, the crowd noise was too loud, which I will say the advanced technology of these networks, it's an issue with all the networks in all live sports. The crowd noise is drowning out announcers.
Well, and you know, I like both crews. I have friends on both of the crews, but I think the TNT crew is remarkable.
Yes.
Well, I think they have TNT hockey announcers broadcast. No offense, they have hockey announcers doing the game, Seth.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. Buchagross is not a hockey announcer. Steve Levy's not a hockey announcer.
And I think Levy was decent last night. I actually think he and Ferraro were fine. Ferraro was drowned out by the crowd noise like Utah every time.
Ferraro's the voice of the video game. So it really literally sounds like I just left it on. when he's talking, like I'm like, where's my controller? How do I control this game? But the TNT broadcast is brilliant. Liam McHugh is a Cuse guy, and he's a great traffic cop. Kenny Albert does a great job. Bryce Salvador, for Devil's captain and one of our announcers for the broadcast, he's been great as well.
Yeah, it's amazing. One network hired hockey people to broadcast hockey. And the other network just
moved hired ESPN people
through that right and said, "Hey, you got nothing to do."
Well, they just stuck it up on the bulletin board. Said, "We've got the NHL. Anybody interested? Come to the corner office and apply."
What do you want
to
do? Right. Right.
Who wants to sign up and do this?
But everything's. But I don't know if John Forslund talked about this, but everything changes for the next round because they shave off four series. So, what does ESPN do? They start to combine crews. Is Leah Hextall going to be doing the second round?
Well, I think.
Because if Sean McDonough and Steve Levy are there, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Right, and that'll be it. They'll just have, because ESPN will have two series, Turner will have two series, so they'll have to just, you know, narrow it down to two crews.
Is Forslund doing the second series, or is Brendan Burke? I bet you it's Brendan Burke.
I'm guessing it is as well. And
I don't know Brendan Burke, but I like him.
But Forslund is doing the Eastern Conference Finals on the radio. We've got less than 60 seconds.
Oh, yes. Very good.
Less than 60 seconds. Go.
Oh, you want to talk about the podcast? Sports with Friends. We've got a radio Hall of Famer, Dave Grosby, the Groz, did 20 years out in Seattle, battling Parkinson's disease. Really great former colleague. Dave Grosby is on Sports with Friends. Hosted a show called Groz with Gas with Mike Gastineau for 20 years. Hall of Justice, we review Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. And TechStream, there's a new software platform that allows you to not use passwords but is more secure. How is that possible? That's a good TechStream.
Those are pretty good teases right there.
I agree.
That was A-plus tease material there, Seth.
And hopefully you were watching this segment on the Miller & Moulton Twitch channel because you saw Seth in his Marvel shirt there.
Yeah, and I had to look at my notes.
Seth Everett. Follow him on Twitter at Seth_Everett. Seth, all the best to you and the family.
Talk to you guys soon. See ya.
Miller & Moulton. Well, for those of you in Lake City, Tampa, St. Pete, Port Charlotte and Venice, we thought it was a pretty good show today. And for those of you in the 239, we'll try to continue it for 60 more minutes. Miller & Moulton, Florida Sports Network.